Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Dalid. We left off on daf Mem Gimel on the page. We are 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Omar Mar Berei Deravina. So we were discussing yesterday, the last thing we were discussing was shechting on the Tarbetz HaVeshet. The Tarbetz HaVeshet is all the way at the top of the Veshet, and we had a machlokes whether that's considered part of the Makom Shechita or not, and we specifically were discussing a case where you started the Shechita in the Tarbetz HaVeshet and then continued at an angle and cut most of the way down the Veshet. So does that make the animal an avela before you ever even got to beginning the Shechita, or is it all part of the Shechita? So we're going to continue to discuss the Tarbetz HaVeshet, and we're going to discuss the possibility of shechting, of paskening l'chumra in both directions, because that's the last thing we learned, that someone had paskened l'chumra, like both the Shita of Rav and Shmuel, and we'll discuss more broadly what we assume, what we think about somebody who generally paskens l'chumra in both directions, specifically when it comes to Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a Veshet gets detached from the lechi, either entirely or partially. So does that make it a treifa? At what point it makes it a treifa, and the shechita would no longer be kosher on it? The Gemara is going to discuss how to measure the psukas hagargeres, that's a psul as well. That's something that would be much of, that would treif up an animal. But how exactly do you measure when the gargeres, which is the tube, do you measure counting the ovid, the thickness of the walls of the tube, or only the chalal, only the space in between? And we're also going to discuss how it could be that Rabba was allowed to eat something that Rav had paskin l'chumra on. Rav had paskin that an animal was aser. Rabba said, I disagree, and he ate from it. He paskined otherwise, and he ate from it. And there are three problems with that. First of all, Chacham Sha'asar, once you have one rabbi that paskins, another rabbi is not allowed to come and paskin differently on the same chefza. Second of all, any time it required a hora'a, even if no one paskin the chumra on it, but if it required a hora'a, basar shahara b'chacham, a person is supposed to try to stay away from it. At least a person of a certain stature is supposed to try to stay away from it. And third, it's a chashad. People are going to think that he went and he paskin this way because he had what to gain from paskining this way. So we're going to deal with all three of those issues. And then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to tell us about someone who is roa treifa la'atzmo, which means a person who's willing to paskin the chumra on his own animal when he sees treifas in the animal, the kind of integrity that takes, what that makes him. So the Gemara is going to say three different things about a roa treifa la'atzmo: that he's a Talmud Chacham, that he's a Soni Matanos Yichya, that he's the Yagia Kapecha Kisochal. So different praises for a person who is roa treifa la'atzmo. So again, we are on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the words Amar Mar Bere Duravina. So the last thing we learned yesterday was that Rava paskined the Chumra both like the Shita of Rav and Shmuel when it came to the Shechita that was done partially on the Turbatz HaVeshet. So Amar Mabri Dravina Mosivna Tiyufta Klape Sane de Rava. I have a kasha against the hater of Rava, the enemy of Rava. It means Rava himself, but he didn't want to come out so strong and say that he has a kasha on Rava himself. So he used such a melitza, because the Brisa tells us li olam hilchsa k'divrei Beis Hillel, that really we always pass like the sheet of the Beis Hillel. V'arotzu lasos k'divrei Beis Shammai osef. A person wants to follow the sheet of the Beis Shammai, so he's allowed to do that. The Gemara is going to ask, why isn't that just a stira right there? We just said we always pass like Beis Hillel. Now, if you want to do like the sheet of Beis Shammai, you could do that. We'll get to that in the Gemara. K'divrei Beis Hillel osa. A person wants to do like the sheet of Beis Hillel, you can do that as well. Even though normally the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin tells us that whenever you have machlokas amongst the chachamim, we're machriya the halacha according to the one who's gadol b'chachmo b'minyan, and if they're equal, then the hachra is b'shal Torah halacha char machmir b'shal sofim halacha char mekel. That on a daraisa you go l'chumra, on a drabanan you go l'kula, but a machlokas b'sham b'sil is different. knowledge, that it's something that all the Chachmei Yisrael were involved in, and it's as if the Torah becomes like Shtei Torahs, and they, so we have Rishus, everyone has Rishus to choose, always like Beis Shammai or always like Beis Hillel. But every other Machlokas, you have to paskin like the Klalim. That's what the Ramban points out. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying over here. So you want to do like Beis Shammai, do. You want to do like Beis Hillel, do. Mekule Beis Shammai, umekule Beis Hillel, Rasha. You want to follow the Kulos of Beis Shammai and the Kulos of Beis Hillel, that would make a person a Rasha. Mechumre Beis Shammai, mechumre Beis Hillel, alavakas vomar ksil b'choshech olich. You want to follow the Chumros of Beis Shammai and the Chumros of Beis Hillel, so that we say such a person is like a fool walking in the dark, because you're doing things that contradict each other, and you're certainly not allowed to do that. Ela ik Beis Shammai kikulein ukichumrehen. You want to follow Beis Shammai, be consistent, follow their kulos and their chumras, and ik Beis Hillel kikulein ukichumrehen. And if you want to follow Beis Hillel, you have to follow their kulos and their chumras. So this is a major kasha on Rava, because the shaila was about a case where he shechted a little bit of the turbat zaveshet. Why is it that Rava was machmir like both Rava and Shmuel? That should be a chumra that soser each other, and you're not allowed to follow the chumras of both. You're considered a ksil b'choshech holech. Why is it a chumra that soser each other? Because if the turbat zaveshet is part of the makom shechita, so then it's perfectly fine. It's part of the maaser Shechita. And if it's not part of the Makom Shechita, then it would only be Pasul Berubo, not with the neck of Kol Shehu. It would not have become Pasul, so it also would have been a Kasher Shechita. So, says Gemara, but before we answer the Kasha, just to understand these Klalim that we're saying about Pasul like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Hagufa Kasha, this Brisa is inherently problematic. Amrit, the Olam Alach Kedib Beis Hillel, Vadatari Arot Las Kedib Beis Shammai Yaseh. First we said, we always Pasul like Beis Hillel. Then we said, oh, but if you want to do like the Beis Shammai, you can do like the Beis Shammai. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not always paskening like the Beis Hillel. Lo kasha. Kan kodem baskol, kan liachar baskol. No, the way to be miyashiv, those two lines, is that when the Braisa says that we paskin like the Beis Hillel, but you want to that's going before the baskol, that the halach is like the Beis Hillel, but kan liachar baskol. But when we say you want to do like one or the other, it's before the baskol had paskin like the Beis Hillel, kan liachar baskol. But once the baskol came out and said that we paskin like the Beis Hillel, so you're no longer allowed to paskin like the Beis Shammai, and that's why the beginning of the Braisa said that halach like Beis Hillel. The beginning of the Braisa was referring to once the baskol had already come and told us that the halach is like the Beis Hillel, so that's how we always have to paskin. Or we can even say that it could be even after the baskol, a person could paskin either way. A person could choose to paskin like Beis Shammai. For Rabbi Yeshua, he damar ein mashkichin bebaskol. And we're simply following the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that we don't rely on the psak of a baskol to be koveh halacha at all. And therefore, if you want to do like Beis Shammai, you're still allowed to do like Beis Shammai. You want to do like Beis Hillel, that's fine as well. But the beginning of the Braisa that says that we always do like Beis Hillel holds like the Shita, that we do passing like a baskol, that we do have to follow what a baskol tells us. So two ways to resolve that, those two lines of the Braisa. Then on the one end we say that Allah is like Beis Hillel, and on the other end we say you can follow whichever one you want. Either it's a difference before the baskol and after the baskol, or it's all after the baskol, but it's machlokas between those two lines, whether we are mashkichin bebaskol or not. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that B'Shal Torah were holich achar machmir, as we pointed out before, so everyone could do like, so l'chora, it means that you cannot do like whatever you want. So that's what we said. The Ramban had that idea that since this is such a major machlokas involved Kol Chachmei Yisrael, and the Torah would become like Shtei Toros, so it's Rishus L'Kol Echad, Lasus K'divrei Echad Mehem, that you're allowed to do whichever way. But when it comes to other Machlokos, then Einochinami would have to follow the Machmir. The Chazon Ish in Yerdei and Siman Kuf Nun write that it's only when the majority does not follow the Machmir. But if the majority follows the Machmir, then you're no longer allowed to paskin Lekula. I'm sorry, not the majority. The Chazon Ish writes that when your Rebbe doesn't follow the machmir, then you could choose. But if your Rebbe follows the machmir, then you can't choose. So machlok b'sham v'sulal, everyone is allowed to follow what their Rebbe did, and even if their Rebbe went l'kula. So but there's a lot over here to unpack. So first of all, the Gemara says mikol makom kasha. That the point of all this is to ask a kasha on Rava. How could he be machmir like two deos, like both Rav and Shmuel? So we'll get to the answer to that question in just a moment, of how Rava was allowed to paskin like two deos l'kula and l'chumra, two deos l'chumra. But before we get to that, just some of the points that emerge from this whole back and forth over here. First of all, it's an unusual thing that we say li'olam halacha k'div beis hillel. Generally speaking, when we give klalim in halacha, so we give a klal. Hilchsuk sta mishnah, halacha hilchsuk rav bisuri, hilchsuk shmuel bedine. We don't say li'olam. What does li'olam mean any more than it would be by other klalim? So the Taras Chaim writes, by other klalim, why is it that we paskin hilchsuk rav bisuri, for example, or hilchsuk shmuel bedine? So he says hilchsuk rav bisuri means that rav in general was the greater expert in Isra v'Heter. So generally speaking, we paskin like rav because he knew better in Isra v'Heter. Shmuel was the greater expert in Dine Mamanis. That was his area of expertise. And therefore, generally speaking, we paskin like Shmuel. But there will always be exceptions in those cases, because if you're talking in generalities, who was generally a greater expert in this area or the other, they might be wrong sometimes. And therefore, we might vote against them on certain occasions. And therefore, we will sometimes pasken like Rav in Dine. We'll sometimes pasken like Shmuel in Isure. It's not going to be the Olam. But why is it that we pasken like the Beis Hillel? So pasken like the Beis Hillel is for a different reason. The Gemara in Erev in Daf Yud Gimel and Beis tells us that the Baskel said, Eilu ve'elu divrei l'kim chayim hein, v'alacha k'beis hillel. So the Gemara says, me'achar she'elu ve'elu divrei l'kim chayim. Why is it that we pass like the beis hillel? And the Gemara says, mipnei she'nochin v'aluvin ayu, v'shonin divrei v'divrei beis shamay, v'lo ol el shemagdim v'divrei beis shamay v'divrei hem, because they would always first hear out the entire shita of the beis shamay, and then say their own shita, meaning there is something that is not about judging their expertise, that we follow the Beis Hillel. That it's because of their midos or something like that, that we follow the Beis Hillel. So that's why the Mekubalim write that, Lasulava, we're going to pass back to Beis Shammai. Why? Now all of a sudden Beis Shammai become more correct? No, the Beis Shammai were always perhaps more correct, or are as correct. It's not about the fact that we pass the Beis Hillel, it's not because of a greater level of expertise. And therefore it's going to be li'olam. It has to be that we made some sort of rule, and that's what makes it li'olam. That's how the Taras Chaim writes. Now when we say if you follow the Kulei Beis Shammai and the Kulei Beis Hillel, the person is a Rasha, Taras Chaim explains, based on Rashi and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that we're not speaking about someone who in one inyan goes, is maker like the Kulei Beis Hillel, and in another inyan like the Kulei Beis Shammai. That's not a Rasha, he's paskening halacha. Meaning, it's not, people often get the impression that's erroneous, that you always have to follow a single rabbi in Piskei Halacha. That if, Rav Shechter is a Talmud of Rav Salvechik, and Rav Salvechik ever argues on Rav Moshe in something, let's say, he's never allowed to pass on Rav Moshe. He always has to follow Rav Salvechik. You have to follow a single rabbi in every Pesach Halacha. That's not true. You have to follow what you think the Halacha is. So if in certain instances you feel the Halacha is one way, so you pass in that way. Certain instances you feel the Halacha is the other way, you have to pass in that way. Not feel. You have to know. You have to study the subject and see that and be machriya. That's what we once asked Rav Shechter. When do you pass like Rav Salvechik? When do you not pass like Rav Salvechik? And he said, when Rav Salvechik was correct, we pass like him. When Rav Salvechik was incorrect, we don't pass like him. What he meant to say is that when my own judgment is that the other shita makes more sense, la halacha. So that's how we're allowed to pass. That's how we're obligated to paskin. So that's what Taras Chaim says, that it can't be miklu b'sham miklu b'silal, means that a person, honest to goodness, paskins in each case that person's a Rasha. No, that's not a Rasha. A Rasha is when you start doing things that are so ser each other. You start doing things that are self-contradictory. Now, we had mentioned over here also this notion of ein mashkichin bebaskal, that we pay no heed to a baskal. That's the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Where does this come up? This is the famous Gemara of Tanu Shalachnai, Bamatzia Daf Nun Tassam Beis, where Rabbi Yeshua said, ein mashkichin baskal, because of loba shemayim, and once the Torah was given, we follow Klolei Apsak, Achriram Lahatos, that it's no longer up in Shemayim to determine how to paskin. In the parish of Rabbi Nissim Gaon on Maseches Brachos Daf Yutes, he says, how could it be that a baskel would come out min haShemayim keneged haAlacha? So first he explains that this was a hachraza amitis min haShemayim. It was definitely a true announcement. But it didn't say that the halacha is like Reb Lazar in this machlokas of Tanu Shalachnai. It said halacha kamosa b'chol makom, meaning in other places other than this case. And that's why we were able to move mechriya the halacha against the baskal. But if the baskal were more specific, maybe in a chinami, we would not be allowed to be mechriya against the baskal. But then he writes in the second pshat that min haShemayim they wanted to test the chachamim whether they would back out based on the baskal. Meaning he's bothered. Why would Hashem send a baskal that's wrong, right? Why would there be a baskal that comes with a shemayim that we're not supposed to paskin like? So either he says, no, it's not wrong because it's not being so specific that it's about this case, or it is wrong, but it's to test us, to see if we're going to be swayed by that which comes with a shemayim, because we're supposed to know that we're supposed to paskin like the halacha is, Akhiram Lahatos. In the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tav Tzad Yivav, he explains that if the MS was like Reb Lazar, and like the baskal, then we would be allowed to paskin like the baskal, but we have this, meaning it's not that we're never allowed to paskin like a baskal. If the baskal is correct, we're allowed to paskin. The baskal doesn't make matters worse for the person, it just doesn't make matters any better. So that's a question of how far we go with lo b'shamayim hi. Do you say that you don't count it at all? So Pasha says, no, you still count that shita, but you view it like any other shita. That's Rav Avadi Yosef as a tshuva, where he discusses the status of the sefer, Shailos Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. Shailos Tshuvas Min HaShemayim is one of the Balei Atosos. He would go to sleep at night, he would have a dream, and he would ask Shailos in his dream up in the Yeshiva Shalmaila, and he'd wake up and he'd write down the tshuvas that he got min haShemayim. So do you say, throw out the whole book, you can't listen to anything it says, because it's all min haShemayim? So Rav Avadi says, no, you treat it like any other Rishon. It's a day in Rishonim, like any other day in Rishonim. You don't reject it entirely. Sometimes people, I was just talking to someone yesterday, they told me that a woman, an almana, told me she had a dream, and her deceased husband came to her in her dream and told her that she should give $1,000 to the yeshiva of South Shore. So she said he never told her to give $1,000 to anybody, but she followed his instructions. So her daughter told her, it's because your husband was up in Shemayim and Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky found him and instructed him to give $1,000. So, okay. So let's get to the answer. So the Gemara's question over here is that mikomakum kasha, you're not allowed to pass like the chumras of both shitas. So how can you pass over here like the chumras? How could Rav over here pass like the chumras of both shitas? So Amar Rav Tavus Kula Kirav Avda. Rava, who asked this shard, is not being machmir like both Rav and Shmuel. He's paskening straight like Rav. Dechiyasu Rami Bar Yecheskel, because when Rami Bar Yecheskel came to Bavel, Amar lo tzitzilu hulahani klali dekayil Yehuda achi mishmei derav. Don't listen to all those halachos that my brother Yehuda always says in the name of Rav. Throughout Shas, Amar Rav Yudam Rav, right? You always have. No, he didn't know so well what Rav says, that the Turbitz Haveshet is the Makam Shkita. That's not true. Rav never said that. Hachi Amar Rav, Veshet Nasnu Bo Chachamim Shir. The Chachamim gave a certain shir up to what point on the Veshet is kasher for Shkita, both an upper limit and a lower limit. Mechal de Turbitz Haveshet La Makam Shkita. The fact that there's an upper limit on the Veshet tells you that the Turbitz HaVeshet, which is all the way at the top, can't possibly be the part of the Makam Shechita. Because once you're at the Turbitz, the next thing is you're in the jaw. And that's definitely not the Veshet, right? Once you're in the Lechi, that's obviously not the Veshet. So the fact that there's any sort of shear tells you that the Turbitz HaVeshet is out, that is not a part of the Makam Shechita. So V'ka'amar B'mashehu, and it's not part of the Makam Shechita, and nevertheless, Rav says that it becomes Trefa even B'mashehu. So that's why Rav held that the Shor becomes becomes a treifa, because they shecht it a little bit in the turbat aveshet, and it's not a matam shechita. It becomes treif b'mashuhu. So lemala ad kama. Okay, now that you mention that there is a shear, there's an upper limit of where the veshet goes and a lower limit of where the veshet goes. So ad kama, where is the upper limit of the veshet? So Amar Rav Nachman, ad kedei tfisas yad, three or four etzbaos from the top. That's not considered the veshet. You can't sheft in the first three or four etzbaos on the top. The tfisas yad, where you can grab with your hand, is not considered a part of the veshet itself, and therefore is not kosher l'shchita. But anything below that is already the veshet. L'mata ad kama, what's the lower limit of the veshet? Amram Nachman, Amram Barbavua, ad kidei sheyasir. When you shecht all the way at the bottom, you have to leave a place where the veshet is connected to the stomach, to the place where it's yasir, where there is a seyar-like substance, a hairy-like substance by the stomach, which is no longer considered the veshet, which would be kasher l'shchita. That's already considered part of the stomach. Says Gemara, eini v'amravina amar gniva mishmei derav. Geniva Senanim Rav Tefach Baveshat Samach Lakeres Zeu Keres Apnimi. The Tefach of the Veshet that's closest to the stomach is no longer considered the Veshet. That's the Veshet. That's the Keres Apnimi. And if you're going to say that wherever there's no Seyar, it's still Kasher L'Shchita, so you should be allowed to Shecht in the Tefach that's Samach to the Keres, because the Tefach that's Samach to the Keres doesn't have Seyar. So that should still be okay. Why do you say that that's considered the Keres? So Amai, why is it kasher l'shchita? Kika shachat b'keres kashachat. When you're shechting over there, you're shechting in what we just labeled as the keres and not the veshet. So one of these definitions has to be off. I mean, you can't say that up until the makom haseyar is still the veshet and say, but the last tefach samach l'keres is not the veshet, because the last tefach samach l'keres is not yet the makom haseyar. So ema tefach b'keres samach l'veshet zeu keres hapanimi. No, we said it wrong. Not the last tefach of the veshet, samach to the keres. A tefach of the keres that's closest to the veshet is considered the keres apnimi and not the keres achitzon. But the veshet goes all the way until the keres, and the makom shchita is the entire veshet up until the place where there is seyar. Or we could be miyashiv differently, that really geneva in the name of Rav is exactly how we said it, that the tefach of the veshet samach to the keres is the keres hapnimi and is not the veshet. And still it's not a kasha on Rabba Baravua that said that you're allowed to shech the veshet up until the place where the seyar is, because Rav wasn't talking about all behemos. Kika amarav b'torah demasir tfei. Rav was dafka talking, saying his din by a shor that is more seyar, that the seyar that's in the keres goes up until a sheer tefach of the veshet as well. So from the place where the seyar ends, that's where the makom shchita begins. So that's why the tefach of the veshet samach to the keres is not the veshet, it's the keres apnimi, in a shor, because in a shor that's still a place of seyar. But by all other behemos, hinachinami, the makom shchita is wherever the seyar begins, is up until wherever the seyar begins. And by most other behemos, that's not going to be a full tefach along the veshet above the keres. So that's how we're miyashev the shita of what the lower limit of the makom shchita on the veshet is. Now the Gemara discusses what happens when the veshet is ne'akar from the lechi. It gets uprooted, it gets removed from the jaw. It's no longer connected. So Amram Nachman Amram Shmuel, turbat haveshet shenital kulo milechi. It's entirely cut off from the lechi, kosher. V'tana tuna, and the tana of the Mishnah that we're going to have on Daf Nun Dalit is going to tell is a raya, because it's going to say nital lechi atachton kosher, that if the lechi atachton is nital, then it's kosher. Since the simanim are mechuber to the lechi atachton and it's nital, so it would be nital shvas simanim. It would be a case where the simanim were uprooted, and the Tana is going to say that it's kosher anyway. So we see that that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Says Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, that when the turbat haveshet is entirely removed from the lechi, it's still going to be kosher. So So maska for Rav Papa va'ika ikur simanim. But if the veshed is removed from the lechi, the veshed is not mechuber to the animal's body anymore. And isn't that exactly the case of ikur simanim to the makum chiburim beguf, which makes the animal a treifa? So it's one of the five halachas of shechita that are halacha l'moshe Sinai that would make it a treifa. So how could Shmuel be machshir such a thing? So the Gemara doesn't answer right away. It just answers with a question. Rav Papa kasher masnisin nita lechi atachtem kasher. Meaning Rav Nachman and Shmuel, you can't attack Rav Nachman and Shmuel over here. He had a tanatuna. He had a mishnah that helped him. So what Rav Papa is going to ask? But you're saying a halacha that's against the well-known halacha of ikur simanim. Okay, so ask it on the mishnah. Meaning the mishnah said that nita lechi atachtem is going to be kasher. So you have to figure out how to be miyashiv that mishnah. So it says Mar Bishlam masnisin Rav Papa lo kasha. Rav Papa wasn't so bothered by the mishnah. Hadi akari kure, hadi igumi gume me ilave simanim. Rav Papa was talking about where the veshet was uprooted from the lechi and from the basar that surrounds it, and that's ikur simanim that would make it no longer kasher l'shchita. The Mishnah was talking about where it just separated from where the lechi was separated from the basar that was mechubar to the veshet, but the veshet itself is still mechubar to the basar, and that's not called ikur simanim, and that's going to be kasher l'shchita. Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, that the Torbetz HaVeshet that's entirely removed, the Torbetz HaVeshet that's entirely removed, sounds like the Veshet itself is removed, that it's not considered, that it's not connected to the Basar at all. So Kasha, that's going to be a Kasha, like Rav Papa's Taina, that's Ikur Simanim. So how could he be Machshir in such a case? So says Rubo. Don't say that Shmuel was talking about a case where the entire Torbetz HaVeshet was removed from the Lechi. It means Rov of the Torbetz HaVeshet was removed, but it's still partially attached, and that's why it's kosher. That's why it's not considered ikur simanim. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rabba Bar Chana Mar Shmuel, simanim shenidaldulu beruban treifa. Then even if it's only rove removed, we consider that to be a treifa. So how can you say that Shmuel is talking about that it's still partially attached, and that's why it's kosher? No, Shmuel himself said that as long as it's rove detached, it's a treifa. Amar Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, had the ikpal ikpulei hasam the ifruk ifruke. There's a big difference. Shmuel, who was machshir, is talking about where it's rove detached all in one spot, meaning it's all consistent. Whereas when we say that it's kosher, it's where there's a little bit detached here, a little there, a little there, a little there, and when you add it all together, it'll be rove. But it's still connected in multiple places. So that's the difference. If the attachment is all in one spot, the miut attachment is all in one spot, or the miut attachment is in different spots. Period. Now we move on to psukas hagargeres. Psukas hagargeres is another one of the items that was listed in the Mishnah that will make an animal a treifa. So Tana Kama psukas hagargeres. What's the shear of psukas hagargeres? Beruba. It's when most of the gargeres is severed. The kamaruba, how do you measure that rove? So Rav Amar Rove Ovia. You measure it by the width of the gargeres on the outside. That if rove of it is nifsak, then it's a trefa. Even though it's not the rove of the halal, even though it's not the rove of the hollow space on the inside. The Amri La Rove Chalala. And some say no, it's rove chalala dafka. Even though mibachutz, it's nifsak ruba, it's not a trefa if it's not also rov chalala that is nifsak, because the ovia gargeres, the thickness of the outer walls, are not mitstaref to the shear. Hahi psukas hagargeres tasai l'kamei d'rav. So it says there was a story once where there was a psukas hagargeres shaila that came to Rav Yosef v'kabadikla berov ovia, and Rav started examining based on rov ovia, and he found that it was rov, and he therefore had to trafe it up. So amru le Rav Kahana v'Ravasi l'Rav. Rav Kahana v'Ravasi said to Rav, "Limadatanu Rabenu berov chalala. You taught us that it's a rov chalala, that you don't measure by rov ovia, you measure by rov chalala, and by that measure, this animal is not a trefa. This animal should be perfectly fine." So Shadre lekame to Rabba Bar Chana. He sent the shayla to Rabba Bar Chana. Badka berov chalala. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chana did the measurement accurately with Rav Chalala, and he saw that it wasn't Nifsak Beruba. So therefore, V'achshira, he was Makshir L'Achila. V'zavad mina b'tleisar istiri pshite bisra. And he bought a significant chunk of that animal, of the meat from that animal, to eat from. So he used a lot of money to buy from that animal to eat from it. So the Gemara is going to have three problems with what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana did over here. Here's something that Rav Paskin V'chumra, Rav Bar Bar Chana took the same animal, passed in the kula, and ate from it. So problem number one, Ve'ech Yavadachi, how is he allowed to do this, to paskin on something that Rav had already paskin in the Isser? V'atanya, we have a brisa. Chacham Shatimei, Ein Chaveru Rashi L'Tahir. That if one Chacham was Metame something, another Chacham is not allowed to come and paskin Tahar. Asar, Ein Chaveru Rashi L'Hatir. If one Chacham asked something, another Chacham is not allowed to come and be Matir that thing. And you can't say that Rabbi Bar Chana didn't know that Rav asked it, because it would still be Akasha on Rav. How could he send it to Rabba if he knows that Rabba's heter won't do anything, won't help? So that's what the Marsha points out. That's why you don't want to say that he didn't know, because if he's unaware, you can't ask that Akasha on Rav. In Masechta Avodah Zarah, there's another brisa that doesn't say Chacham Shatir. There's a brisa that seems like it's saying the same thing, but in a slightly different lashon. It says Hanishal lechacham v'timei lo yishal lechacham v'yatayer lechacham va'asal liyishal lechacham v'yatir. And the Ramban writes that just like the Gemara asks on Rabbah, how could he be matir after Rav asked it? The Gemara also could have asked on those who asked Rabbah, because that's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah emphasizes, that it's not only a problem for the chacham to paskin against the first chacham, it's a problem for those who are asking the shayla. Hey, you're not allowed to, once you got your psak, you're not allowed to ask another shayla. So the Gemara could have asked that kasha as well, the Ramban says. Now, why is this true, though? Why is it that once someone paskins, I'm not allowed to paskin? If I'm a chacham and I can paskin, so just because someone else already paskin, why does that make it asr? So Rashi, Maseches Nidan, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, and other Rishonim write that the reason is because of Kvodo Shel Chacham Arishon, that it's disrespectful to the first Chacham to paskin. Whereas the Ravid, it was quoted in the Rashba, writes that it's because the Isra of the first Chacham makes it like Shavi Anafshei Chaticha Di Isura, that it's become a Chaticha Di Isura. So lots of nafkaminas between those two reasons. What if the Chacham that was Matir is the Chacham that was Machmir rather is Mochel? So if it's Mishum Kvodo, he's allowed to, Torah Dileu, he's allowed to be Mochel on his Kavod. But if it's because it's like Shavi Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura, so then it's, you can't say Shavi, then you still can't be Mekel because of Shavi Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura. Or what if you have a case where the person never asked the Shaila, the Chacham was just Machmir, but I never asked this Chacham, so I wasn't intending to follow his psak anyway. So Mishum Kvodo, maybe I can't go again, I can't ask somebody else because it's a lack of respect. But I was never Shavi Anafshei Chaticha Di Isura, I never had accepted. If you assume Shavi Anafshei works me din neder, I never took such a neder. So that's a big discussion of what the limitations are on that rule. But the bottom line is, we have a kasha and Rabbah. How could Rabbah paskin l'kula when Rav had already paskin l'chumra? So it says, Marashay niyacha d'Rav lo asar mesar. No, Rav never got to that point. He just started measuring based on the ovi, based on the thickness of the walls around the gargaras. But he never actually paskin. So that's why Rabbah was allowed to paskin, because Rav never actually said, I hold that this animal is a trefa. So it says, V'kivan da'ori b'chacham hechi achal mina. Okay, but leaving Rav out of it, a second problem with what Rabbah did over here. This is a behema shahor b'chacham. This is a shayla that required a hora'a. And isn't there an appropriate behavior of people who are on a very high stature that they should not eat from something that was hora b'chacham, that required a psak of a chacham? Because we learned previously already, but we'll repeat the whole drasha. Vaksiv, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that tells us, Va'omar aha Hashem Elokim, hine nafshi lo mitumao, unevelu trefa lo achalti minu revi adata, lo ba b'fi basar pigel. That Yecheskel was telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you put me through this series of practices that is so demeaning, that is so, do you know how careful I've been with my body? I never ate anything that was even questionable. So we darshan each phrase, hine nafshi lo mitumao, tuma'a means shlo'aharti biyom lovely day tuma b'layla. I never had a yerhurim biyom that would bring me to tuma at night, that would bring me to tuma's carry to be motzi zara levatala at night. Unvelu treifalo achalti means shlo'achalti basar kos kos me'olam. I never ate meat that was that people were screaming shach shach because the animal was so misukenis, it was so dangerously ill, it was going to die any moment, so we had to shecht it. I wouldn't eat from such meat because I'd be afraid that maybe it wasn't mefarches or maybe what didn't really die from the shechita. V'lo ba b'fi b'sar pigul. What does that mean? So achalti mi behema shahora b'chacham. I never ate from an animal that required a haras chacham. Mishum Rabbi Nasan amru shlo achalti mi behema shlohor mat naseha. That means that I never ate from an animal that the zrol chiyayim mekeva were not taken from, because those are matnos kuhuna. And even though I'm a kohen and I could have eaten from an animal without the zrol chiyayim mekeva taken from it, but I still didn't do that. But the bottom line is, we see that a basar shahara b'chacham is a problem. And so how could Rabba just buy the meat from that animal? Says Mara Haini Mili Milsa Detalia Besvara. Rabba Barbachana Agamre Samach. That no, when do we say Bas Shor B'Chacham is a problem? That's where the Hora'ah is dependent on Svara. But where the Hora'ah is not dependent on Svara, you just have a tradition from your Rebbeim that such a thing is Mutter, so, and that's where, how he was Mekabel from his Rebbe, so then the Psikas HaGargeres is not going to be, he was Mekabel from his Rebbe, the Psikas HaGargeres is measured by Chalala, not by Uvya, so that's not considered Bas Shor B'Chacham. Says more, but there's a third problem with this Psak. Isn't it bad that he's going to go and eat the animal that he was just makel with? Doesn't it look like he was makel just to be able to enjoy a good lunch? Titania, because the Brisa tells us, Donas Adin, Zika, Chiev, Time, Tier, Asar, Hitir, Vihitir, Vechene, Edim, Shiidu, Kulan Rashal Nika, whoever was a dayan or an aid, they're all out of buy from that object that they were just done on or they were just made on. And we're not choshesh that if it's going to be mutter for them to buy it, then that will affect their judgment. Aval amru chachamim, but the chachamim say to a dayan and an aid that even though we don't think you're going to be dishonest in the judgment or in the edus, harchek min akira min adamalav, stay away from things that will cause people to talk and that will cause people to think that it just doesn't look right. So how come Rabba didn't stay away from this animal? Says Mara Hani Mili Midi Dimizabin Bishuma Hacha Mitkala Muchach. Now that there's a difference between something that the price is not such a set price, where it may look bad because it will look like you got a cheaper price on the animal that you were just makel with, and therefore you had reason to want to be makel, versus something that's readily available to anybody. Meat could be bought not from this animal, from other animals, at the same price, and it's measured by weight, and it's X number of dollars per pound. So you're not gaining anything by being makel on this animal. There's plenty of meat in the butcher shop that you could have bought for the same exact price. He had the Rava Sharet Trefas of Zav Min HaBisra, like Rava once was makel on a trefa and bought meat from that trefa. Amr le Bas Rav Chista. So Bas Rav Chista said to Rava. Bas Rav Chista was Rava's wife. So she said, Abba Shari Bukhra v'lo zavan mine bisra. Bas Rav Chista comes up a few times in Shas as Rava's wife. She's always referred to as Bas Rav Chista because you're supposed to marry a Bas Tamil Chacham. So it's just highlighting that Rava was Mekayim, that both Rava was Mekayim the din of marrying a Bas Tamil Chacham, and that Rav Chista was Mekayim the din of marrying a daughter off to a Tamil Chacham. But she comes up also when there was a situation where Rava wasn't sure if he can trust somebody, and Bas Rav Chista said that you cannot trust that woman, and he relied on Bas Rav Chista to say that that someone cannot be trusted. So that's where that's also that comes up where Rava follows the advice of Bas Rav Chista. She had incredible ne'amanus. So anyway, so Bas Rav Chista said, "Abba Shari Bukhra v'lo zavan mina bisra." When Cohen would bring a bachar behema Torah to my father to see if there was a mum, and he was matirit, he would never eat, he would never buy from that meat to eat from. So how did you, my husband, violate that halacha or whatever? How did you buy from that meat? So Amalah, Hani Mili Bukhra Da Ashuma Mizdabin. Hacham it's Kalamuchach. So he said that there's a difference between something that the price is not a set price and they assess it each time versus something that's sold by weight. What are you going to be choshed me? That because they gave me the best meat of that, the best cut of meat from that animal, they always give me the cover of giving me the best cut of meat from the animal. I could get that in the butcher shop any day from anybody, and therefore that's not going to be a problem. What is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? Someone where there's a shayla of treifus on his own animal and he's willing to asr it. That's how you know that a person is a Talmud Chacham. So that's interesting, because the Gemara in Bava Metzia has other simanim of what a Talmud Chacham is, because it comes up in Bava Metzia in terms of being Meshav Aveda, that you're not supposed to, you're allowed to be Meshav Aveda to the Talmud Chacham with Tviyas Ayin. He doesn't have to bring any simanim. So the Rishonim point out that we have to say is that either one is a good enough sign of a Talmud Chacham. Either the list in Bava Metzia, or over here, someone who's Roa Treif Alatzmo, it shows that he has integrity, that he's willing to lose money for the halacha. Vamar chista ezu soni matanos yichya, zeh Roa Treif Alatzmo. Someone who's a soni matanos, he doesn't have great desire for money, because you see that when it comes to his own shaylus of treifas, he's willing to throw it out. Darish mazuch mishmed rav chista, kol misha kori vishon of Roa Treif Alatzmo, vishimish tamid chamim. If you have three qualities, you're Shona, you're Kari Vishona, you learn a lot, and you're Roa Treif Alatzmo, and you're Mishamish Tamid Chachamim, Alava Kasvomer, Yegia Kapech Kisochel, Ashracha V'Tovlach. Rav Zira Amar Zoch V'Nochel Shnei Olamos, Olam Hazeh V'Olam Haba, Ashracha V'Olam Hazeh V'Tovlach L'Olam Haba, that he's going to be Zochet to both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with stories that begin with Rabbi Lazar tomorrow.